Okay, today's daf is Nedarim Daf Chav Ches. We are holding up the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Chav Zayin Amud Vav. This will be my last shir here for the next month or so, except for Shabbos that I come back. Thank Alicia in advance for covering the Daf Yomi shir while I'm gone over the next month, and then a little bit in the month after that, Bezras Hashem. Today we're going to discuss, the Mishnah is going to talk about Nidrei Haramin Umochsin. If a person takes a neder in order to get somebody off of his back, someone who might kill him, someone who might take his money, so he takes a neder that's clearly not true in order to get somebody off of his back. And the Mishnah is going to have three different machlokos between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel about the geder of the heter to take such a neder. When exactly one is permitted and how exactly one is permitted to take such a neder. Once we mention Mochsin, we talk about tax collectors, the Gemara is going to raise the topic of Dina de Malchus Adina. Why is a person ever allowed to lie to a tax collector in order not to pay taxes? Isn't a Jew obligated to pay taxes if that's the law of the land that we live in? So we have to observe the laws of the land that we live in. So we're going to have a little bit of a discussion about Dina de Malchus Adina, and then the Gemara is going to talk about the exact nature of the exact formulation of this neder to the Moches and to the people who pose a threat, and how the formulation would rely on Dvarim Shebelev in order for it to be a non-binding neder. Then the Gemara is going to explain the machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel as far as the distinction between a neder and a shvua in this regard. And then on the bottom of Amud Aleph of Chav Ches, Amud Aleph of Mishka is going to talk about a person who's makdish either trees or a talis if they don't get destroyed, because then the Gemara explains in Amud Beis we're talking about trees or a talis that are facing some sort of imminent threat, and as a way of expressing how he believes that these items are about to be destroyed, he takes a neder that they should be like a carbon if they don't get destroyed. And we're going to discuss whether that is binding or not binding. So let's begin at the Mishnah on Daf Chav Zayin Amud Bey. Says the Mishnah, Nodun laharagin ulaharamin ulamochsin. A person could take a neder to haragin, haramin, and mochsin. Three types of people that are threatening him with different things. Haragin sounds like people who are threatening to kill him, that they're going to kill a person if he doesn't play along with their rules. Haramin is someone who's not going to kill him, but they're bandits. They're going to steal from him and maybe then potentially kill him if he doesn't cooperate. And mochsin are tax collectors. So a person could take a neder to all these groups of people, shehid truma, that the item that they want to take from him is truma. So they should therefore have no interest in taking these fruits. So these people are coming and they're saying, I'm going to kill you if you don't give me these fruits. Well, you don't want to touch those fruits. Those fruits are truma. It's an amazing thing that Rishonim point out over here. We're talking about people who don't care about Ritzicha. They're willing to kill somebody. And yet, when it comes to truma, they're very makbid about truma. We find in Shas that sometimes people had skewed values. The most famous example, of course, is the Gemara in Maseches Yuma. What is it, Daf Chav Gimel or so, around there, where the Gemara tells the story of the Kohen who was killed while he was doing the Avodah in the Azara, and he was a Mefarp. He was on the floor and he was a ghost. He was about to die, and his father quickly runs up and says, oh my gosh, get him out of here, there's going to be Tumah in the Azara. And that was the concern, about the Tumah in the Azara, rather than about the fact that he's about to lose his own son. So we find sometimes people's values don't always reflect what Torah values are supposed to be, and that's what Rishonim point out over here, that even though Haragin, Mochsin, these people are ready to steal, they're ready to kill, so but they wouldn't eat Truma, and therefore all you have to do is take a nod that it's Truma, and that will get them off your back. The Rush explains that since you could buy a lot of truma for a very cheap price, maybe that's why they wouldn't want to take it if it's truma. Truma is very easy to find because it's so limited in terms of who's allowed to have it, and these people want to get something valuable from you. So even though it's the same exact food, and they don't care what the halach is of the food, they'll eat it anyway, but they're only interested in things that have value, that psychologically they're not interested in taking something that doesn't have value from a person. Tosfos raises the question, why neder helps in order to get away from the moches will continue to ask for the meches, meaning you don't want to pay the taxes because you say that this is truma, good, so give me something else. If he's a tax collector, he's not going to stop just because the fruits that he initially requested are truma. So Tosfos says they wouldn't take maybe their practice was they wouldn't collect taxes from people who were malichim truma lekohanim. People who would give truma to kohanim were very well respected, and from those people they wouldn't take the taxes. Or Rabbeinu Peretz suggests that maybe the neder that it's truma is only going on the haragin and the haramin. The next neder the Mishnah is about to talk about, sheishal beis hamelech, that the items belong to the beis hamelech, that was for the moches, and that would be enough to deter the moches. Now, what's the difference between? Where does this fit in this whole parak? What's the name of this parak? Is Arba'a Nedarim. Arba'a Nedarim is about the four types of neder that are mutar me'aleim, that are mutar on their own. You don't even need a she'elas chacham. So you talk about nidrei zruzin, nidrei havayi, nidrei onsin, nidrei shkagos. Those are the four types of nedarim. What are these? Does this fit into any of the categories? So the fourth category is nidrei onsin. So there is a group of Rishonim, the Mefarish over here, the Rambam, the Ritva, that say that our Mishnah is another example of Nidrei Onsin, because here you have people that are threatening you, so that's an onus, just like we say that a person is allowed to violate a neder if he became ill because he was ne'anas from his illness. Hu adin, if someone is forcing him to take away his money or to threaten him in order to save his money, he has to take a neder. That's considered nidrei onsin. That's where the pashtus is according to many rishonim. However, that's not the impression you get if you open up the Shulchan Aruch and the Tur in Yeradeyasim and Reish Lamed Beis, because Reish Lamed Beis is pretty much our parak. It discusses all these four types of neder. And the way the Shulchan Aruch formulates it, the way he formats it rather, is he goes through each of the types of nedarim, and then he says that these four nedarim do not require hatara, but you're not allowed to make these nedarim lechatchila, which is a general comment about all four types of nedarim that we mentioned in this parak. And then in the next si'if, he quotes the din of our Mishnah. So it sounds from the Shulchan Aruch that after he concludes the entire discussion of the Arba'a Nedarim, of the four types of Nedarim that don't require She'ela, he then introduces the halach of our Mishnah. So our Mishnah must not be one of the Arba'a Nedarim, and there's an afkamina la'alacha, because the other Arba'a Nedarim, the Shulchan Aruch says, you're not allowed to take l'chadchila, nidrei avai, nidrei shkagos, nidrei zruz, you're not allowed to do that l'chadchila, but apparently this, even l'chadchila, one is allowed to do, and there are many Rishonim that sound that way, that this Nedar is different than the other Nedarim, this Nedar one is permitted to take, even lechatchila. The Rambam in Pirush HaMishnah says that the Mishnah of here is talking about that when we say nodun la'aragin, that if a guy doesn't take a neder or a shvua to this person who's pressuring him, so it's going to cause a major monetary loss. And he says that even if you're going to take the neder to save someone else from a major loss, that's also included in this heter. It's not only to save your own money, it's even if it's trying to save somebody else's money that it's included in this heter. But we have three types of people that we're identifying as the people you're allowed to take these kinds of nedarim to: haragin, haramin, and mochsin. So the Rishonim discuss the differences. Tosos and the Rush over here point out that it's the Mishnah must be written in a lozu avzu, that we're going in ascending order of chiddush. That obviously by haragin, someone's threatening to kill you, you're allowed to take a neder. If you don't take a neder and you don't give them what they want, so they're going to kill you. So that for sure you're allowed to take a neder. But not only that, even haramin, who aren't interested in killing you, they're really interested in your money. They may get dangerous, but they're interested primarily in your money. And not only that, even a moches who's not going to kill you at all, and it doesn't even have a shame gazlon. He's not even widely considered by society to be a gazlon. Even though in the Gemara we're going to see we're talking about a type of moches that is doing something illegal, that is taking an unlawful or unethical tax. But nevertheless, people don't consider him a gazlon. Even that, you're allowed to take such a neder. In the Shulchan Aruch, in Reish Lamed Beis, when it quotes the Salacha, it leaves out Haramin. It says Haragin and Mochsin. And the Achronim point out, because there's no Chiddush in Haramin, meaning once you have Haragin and you have Mochsin, we get it. Whether they're coming for Nefashos or whether they're coming for Mammon, you're allowed to take this neder. You get the impression that the only reason the Mishnah mentions Haramin is to be Megala what kind of Moches we're talking about. That the kind of Moches that we're talking about is not an ethical, honest tax collector, but we're talking about, as the Gemara is going to explain, a tax collector who's not doing the right thing. So anyway, the Mishnah says, so you're allowed to say, you're allowed to take a neder to them that it's truma, afal pisha eino truma, even though clearly the item that you have, the produce that you have, is not truma. Or, shehin shel beis hamelech, You can take a neder that it's stuff that belongs to the Beis HaMelech, even though it does not belong to the Beis HaMelech. And now we have three machlokos, Beisham and Beis Hillel, in terms of the geder of the heter to take such nedarim. Number one, Beisham yomim b'chol nodrim chutz mi b'shvua. You could take a neder for all these things, but not a shvua. A shvua is more chamur than a neder, and as we pointed out, by shvua it says lo yinakeh, that's how the Rishonim explains. Since it says lo yinakeh by a shvua, therefore shvua is considered to be more chamur, even though the Mishnah is mentioned there are certain chumras of nedarim over shvuas, but the one that's mefurish b'kra is a chumra of shvua over nedarim, that it used such a strong lashon of lo yinakeh, and therefore you can do this for in a formulation of a neder, but not in the formulation of a shvua. Ubeis Hillel omrim after shvua. Beis Hillel says that you could even do a shvua, meaning this is a very broad heter. It allows not only a neder, even a shvua. Second machlok is Beisham Beis Hillel. Beisham yomrim lo yiftach lo b'neder. You shouldn't be the one to initiate this neder. If he never asked you to take the neder, he never says, swear to me, and you could just get away with a lie without a neder by just saying, oh no, this is truma, you don't want this, and he never says, swear to me that it's truma, take a neder that it's truma. So don't volunteer a neder. Beis Hillel says, no, it's a powerful tool to be able to convince him, is that you volunteer a neder, where he's not even asking a neder, that's a, that you're allowed to do that as well. And third machlokas, Beisham yomrim b'meshuhu madiro. Beisham says, if he's making you take a neder, you can take a neder on what he's making you take a neder, but you're not allowed to add to the neder. Beis Hillel omrim af b'masheinu madiro, that you can even add on your own to the neder that he's making you take. Ketzad, for example, amr lo, amr konim ishti nenesli. The guy says to you, not the guy, the moche says to you, I want you to take a neder that your wife should not be allowed to get anoah from you if you're lying, if this is not truma. I want you to take that neder. Va'amar, and you say, konim ishti ubini nenesli. You say, not only my wife, my son also, or my children also, should not be able to get anah from me. So that was something he never asked you to do. That's a person volunteering to add more to the neder than the neder actually said. So Beishamay Amrim Ishto Mutaru Subana Vasurin. Beishamay says in that case, his wife is going to be mutter, but his children are going to be asur, because his wife is included in the rule of our Mishnah that you're allowed to take these nedarim on a lie and they don't count as nedarim at all. But the banim, that was his own addition. So that he's actually bound to the neder of the children. But Beis Hillel says, no, the entire neder, even with the sons, is all a reaction to the man's request that you take a neder. So it's all part of the same package, and therefore the whole thing, everyone's going to be mutter, both the wife and the children are going to be mutter. So Beis Shammai had said that lo yiftach lo b'neder, you're not allowed to volunteer the neder. Yerushalmi raises a suffix. According to Beis Shammai, what if you did volunteer the neder? Is the neder then going to be chal? Or is Beis Shammai moda that if you volunteered the neder, since it was a case of ones, that the neder is not going to be chal, you're not going to be bound by the neder. So the Yerushalmi says, oh, all you have to do to answer this question is look in the safe of the Mishnah, that Beis Shammai says you're not allowed to add to the neder more than they asked, and if you said konam isha nanasli, and they said, I want you to say konam isha nanasli, and you say konam ishti ubanai, so banav asurim, the children are going to be asir. So Yerushalmi says, so you see what the halacha would be if you're poseach b'neder. Well, what do you see exactly? It's not so clear in the Yerushalmi what exactly how we're being poshet from later on in the Mishnah. So there are two different explanations of what the Yerushalmi is saying. The Karbonadus says that what Yerushalmi is trying to tell us is that just like according to Beis Shammai, if a person adds something unnecessary to the neder, whatever he adds is actually a neder and actually becomes asur to him, so too if he unnecessarily takes the neder. No one ever asked him for the neder, and he decides to volunteer the neder, so whatever he volunteers is actually a neder, and it's going to be asur to him. That's how the Karbonada. The other major commentary on the side of the Yerushalmi is the Pnei Moshe. Pnei Moshe understands the exact opposite. He says the Yerushalmi is trying to be poshet this shayla laheter, and the Ritvaz explains that the raya is that since the Mishnah only explains the din of the seifa, it only says in the case of the seifa where you are being forced to take a neder and you add your own detail, that addition is going to be asur. By implication, we're saying the other examples of the Mishnah would taka be mutter, that in the case of where you're volunteering to take the neder in the first place, that would be mutter. So somehow or another, the Yerushalmi is trying to answer what Beis Shammai would hold from the seifa of this Mishnah, but it's unclear, it's machlokas, what exactly the Yerushalmi is trying to answer. The other issue that everyone, that the Achronim discuss relating to this Mishnah is in this last line over here where Beis Shammai says that when one adds his children into the Neder, his children are Aser. That part of the Neder is actually binding on the person. So the Keranara, the Rashash, other Achronim raise the question, why would his children be Aser even if you hold that you're not allowed to add to the Neder, Neder Shuhutar Miksaso Hutar Kulo? So if the Neder was not Chal on the wife, Melech should not be Chal on the children either. That was yesterday's discussion, 2 days ago, that Neder Shuhutar Miksaso Hutar Kulo, that if part of the Neder is Mutar, the whole Neder should be Mutar. Not only that, even Beis Hillel, where the implication of the Mishnah is that the reason Beis Hillel holds the children are Mutar is because that's also included, that's also counted as a Neder that was only taken because of Ones. Why do you have to say that? Even without that reason, Neder Shuhutar Miksaso Hutar Kulo, the children should never be included in the Neder because the wife is not really included in the Neder. That should be enough to solve that problem. So the Achronim go in like two opposite directions over here. One direction that the Achronim go, the Keren Ora, and some others suggest that since he never really intended to take a Neder at all, and the Isser is not Chal on his wife, it's not considered a Neder Shuhutar Miksaso, because Neder Shuhutar Miksaso is a Neder that, you know, there was a Chalos Neder, and then there was a Heter that was Chal on the Neder. But he never intended to take a Neder that his wife should actually be Aser to him, and it wasn't Chal on his wife at all, so it's not Hutar Miksaso, it's that it was never Chal on Miksaso. So the other half could still be Chal. That's one direction that some of the Achronim go. The other direction, the Nidre's reason, and some other Achronim say the exact opposite, that since the Neder is Chal on his wife, at least for that day, the Gemara is going to say later on that we're talking about where he said, Belibo, he said as he was taking this Neder, he was really saying in his heart, for today, and we say that it is therefore binding on her for that one day, but just in the future she's going to be allowed to get enough from him. So it's not Hutar, it's not Neder Shuhutar Miksaso. The Neder is Chal on his wife, and Mela, it's Chal on his children forever. It's Chal on his wife for today, because that's what he was thinking in his heart. When he's saying, my wife should not be allowed to get enough from me, he's thinking in his mind, Hayom, and it is Chal Hayom. It's just that in the future is going to be Mutter. So since it Taka is Chal, so then you can't call it Neder Shuhutar Miksaso. So Frech the Gemara, the fundamental question. The guy is taking a Neder to get out of paying taxes? Vamar Shmuel Dina de Malchusa Dina. Doesn't Shmuel teach us that there's a rule that you have to follow the law of the land, and if there's law of the land, then it's binding. So why is this guy swearing and lying to get out of taxes? Who told him you're allowed to not pay taxes? So answers the Gemara, Amrav Chinam, Amrav Kana, Amar Shmuel, Bimoche She'in Lo Kitzva. That we must be talking about a tax collector who doesn't have set amounts that he collects, meaning he collects unfairly. He just decides on his own, oh, let this guy pay this, so whatever he's going to take, or the melech decided that the melech needs X amount of money, and this guy collects X plus Y amount of money and keeps the extra for himself, which is illegal. It's an illegal taxation. It's something that's not a fair tax. We're bound by the laws of a just government. We're not bound by the laws of an unjust government. Rabbi Yani says, no, we're not talking about a tax collector that was appointed by the king. This guy happens to have a nice array of weapons, and he's a very intimidating character, so he's able to get us to pay him. But he's not someone who's appointed by the king. He has no authority by the Malchus, so you wouldn't say Dina de Malchus Adina in such a case. What exactly the nature of the din of Dina de Malchus Adina is a major discussion. Perhaps most famously is the comment of the Ran over here. The Ran over here says that the people that know one Ran in all of Nedarim tend to know this one. The Ran, B'moches HaMelech, writes, Shalom B'mitzvos HaMelech, V'kosvu B'tosos D'davka B'malchei Ovdei Kochavim Amar D'dina D'malchus Adina. That it's only Malchei Ovdei Kochavim, it's only non-Jewish kings that we say that we follow the law of the land and we have to listen to them. And why? Because what's the svara for Dina Malchus Adina, says the Ran? Mevnei Sha'aretz Shalo. V'yachol lomer lehem im lo tasu mitzvosei garish eschem in aretz. Because any land that we live in that belongs to a non-Jewish king, he can say, look, it's my land. If you don't want to play by my rules, get out. You don't have to live here. So leave. You want to live in my house, you're going to follow my rules in a broader sense, the king is allowed to say. So that's true in any other country, but says the Ran, Aval b'malchei Yisrael, lo. But when it comes to Malchei Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, they can't say, this is my land, it's not your land, and get out if you don't want to play by the rules. L'fish Eretz Yisrael, kol Yisrael shutbin ba. Because we're all partners in Eretz Yisrael, we all have a chelek in Eretz Yisrael. You read Sefer Yoshua, you see how the chiluk ha'aretz went, that we all have a chelek in Eretz Yisrael. So the king has no right to impose taxes in Eretz Yisrael. So a lot of people like to use this as some sort of heter not to pay taxes in Eretz Yisrael. So there are a number of problems with using this as a heter not to pay taxes in Eretz Yisrael or not to follow the laws of the land in Eretz Yisrael. First of all, most fundamentally, anything that's done for security purposes. Rav Ozen writes in the Tshuva that a person allowed to run red lights in Eretz Yisrael because the king can't tell me what to do. It's my land, and if I want to run a red light, so let me run a red light. He said, no, we're obligated. Everybody, if it wasn't the king, someone would be obligated to make sure that everything is safe, to be mesakin es hadrachim, and to make sure that you live in a safe place. So certainly, Rav Ozen writes in the Tshuva and Shevet Halevi, obviously all traffic laws and anything that involves security, safety, obviously all those have to be observed. But even besides that, Rav Shachter always points out that the taxes that we pay are not taxes that are a king just trying to pad the treasury. They're taxes that pay for services that are provided. So if someone lives in a co-op, for instance, and they need to pay for the gardener and for the lights in the hallway and for all the... So there's a fee that everyone pays because they're all shutvim in the common areas. So that's essentially what our taxes are. It's a din of shutvus. It's not a din of a meches. It's a totally different din. And a shutvus, of course we have to pay for things that we're benefiting from security and from garbage collection and from street cleaning and from fixing the roads. All these things are things in social programs. All these things are things that we would have to pay for. Plus, Rav Shachter points out in Ginas Egos on page Kuf Pei Beis, he says, "V'davar tamua shamati sheyesh bizmanenu anashim sherotzim lismoch al divrei Ran alalu la'alacha." He said, "I heard that there are people that want to rely on this Ran la'alacha. So strange." V'utema dibipshuta amayim b'shulchan aruch hashemish. But he says you got to look it up in Shulchan Aruch. Yirah sheshita sarana nal nidches legamri min alacha. This sheet of the Ran is completely rejected la'alacha in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says, and the Lashon Shulchan Aruch saying straight from the Rambam, Moche shepasko amelech litol dover katsuv, dina de malchus adina, v'amavriach vimecha ze over alo sigzol, mneshu gozol menas amelech bein shay amelech Yisrael, bein shahaya melech akum. You're stealing from the king whether it's a melech Yisrael or not. So he means to say Melech Yisrael be'eretz Yisrael. He's addressing exactly what the Ran is talking about, and he's saying that it's not true. We hold that Dinah Malchus Adina would apply in Eretz Yisrael as well. What exactly the hesber is of Dinah Malchus Adina? So the Ran came to this conclusion because of his hesber of what Dinah Malchus Adina is. It's that if you don't like my rules, get out of my country. So if that's the hesber, then it leads the Ran to the conclusion about Eretz Yisrael. The Rashbam in Bab Basra on Daf Nun Dalet and Beis is different. He says that since all the Bnei HaMalchus are mekabel the rules of the Malchus on their own, so they are therefore bound by those rules that they were mekabel. It's like a schaivus midas that people in general were mekabel. Chumash Deshen adds that even if the Bnei Malchus themselves are not mekabel the gzeros, actively, they're still chayv them because by living there, they're agreeing to whatever rules there are. Meaning everyone agrees there has to be certain rules and regulations in a country in order for a country to run properly. So by living there, I am agreeing. It's not that the king could throw me out, but I am agreeing by choosing to live here, to live by the rules of the locale. Some of the Rishonim say different, that the reason Dina Malchus Dina is because of Kibush Melchama. So it's as if the Melech got a Kinyan Aguf on all the people through a Kibush Melchama. Different, a lot of different Dvaravram suggests, based on Rabbeinu Yonah, that it's a din of Hefker, Beis, and Hefker. And that would be obviously a big Nafkamina La'alach. If it's a din of Hefker, Beis, and Hefker, that's only a din in Dina Mamanis. That the king has the right to impose Hefker, Beis, and Hefker, but that would only apply to monetary issues. It's very Nogei La'alach, obviously. A lot of different exceptions to Dina Malchus Adina that need to be discussed also. I don't know if we're going to have time to get into them, but there's seven or eight different exceptions that you have to Dina the Malchusa Dina as well. But certain, you know, as a basis of understanding our responsibilities, Dina the Malchusa Dina is a critical issue. I never understood people post-com to discuss a lot nowadays, illegally downloading things from the internet to music and movies and things like this that are copyrighted, and they go through all the halachos of intellectual property. Is there a halacha of intellectual property? Does halacha not recognize such a concept? There's no mamashu, so you're stealing. I never understood what the whole discussion is. It's dina malchus adina. It seems like a davar pashut that at the very least, if it's illegal, you're not allowed to do it. I don't understand the whole discussion. Anyway, shehin shel beis hamelech, v'afapi shehin shel beis hamelech. So one of the things that the person is taking a neder in our Mishnah, that we allow them to take such a neder, is that they belong to the Beis HaMelech, that the item that's being threatened belongs to the Beis HaMelech, even though it doesn't really belong to the Melech. So, Heichi Nadar, what exactly is the neder that the guy is saying? Meaning, that's not a neder to say something belongs to the Beis HaMelech. Neder means you're making something usher to you, Bahana or something. Where's that? All he's saying over here is that this belongs to the Beis HaMelech. So, Amrav, Amrav, Amrav. But Omer, the guy must be saying, Ye Asru Peros Ha'ola Malai Im Einun Shal Beis HaMelech. Let all the peros of the world become usher to me if this does not belong to the Beis HaMelech. That must be the situation. So, Kivin Damar Yasu, Itzra'le Kol Peri Alma. So, wait a second. Once he says that all the peros should be usher to him, so then all the peros of the world are going to be usher to him forever. So, how does that work? That's really bad. So, says Gemara, no, Ba'omer Hayom. He says Hayom. He says, let it be usher to me today if this doesn't belong to the Beis HaMelech. How's that going to convince the tax collector? Tax collector is going to come and say, give me the money. He says, no, I promise this money is truma, belongs to the Bay, or belongs to the Beis HaMelech. And just to prove it to you, I won't eat an apple today if it doesn't belong to the Beis HaMelech. Says, don't eat an apple today. But that doesn't convince me about anything. I don't care that you're not. So, Ba'omer Belibo Hayom. No, you say verbally, you verbalize that I'm never going to eat fruits, that peros olam should be usher to me, and then in your heart, you say Hayom. You say today it will be us and me, but you don't actually verbalize that. Umotzi b'svas of stam. You just say it's stam as far as the other guy could hear. V'alfagav desfirulan dvarim shablevenim dvarim. And even though the truth is, we generally hold dvarim shablevenim dvarim, whatever a person says in his heart is irrelevant. It's not. Doesn't count as a statement of any sort. L'gabeyonson shiny. When it comes to an onus, and he has to formulate something to get the guy off of his back. So we're going to rely on the dvarim shablevenim to modify whatever neder it is that he's actually taking. The Rashba writes in the Tshuva in Chelek Vav that someone who's mekabel on himself to give mizonos to support his friend, or that he's mezakeh to someone mizonos from his nechasim, and he doesn't say how long he's mekabel on himself to support his friend. He's chayav lezono kol yimei chayav. He has to do it for the guy's entire life. Where does the Rashba get that from? So the Rashba writes, we see it in our sugya. He says ye asu itzurale called Peri Alma, all of the peros of the world are going to be Asir, and the Gemara says that if he says it's Stam without saying Zman, the Mashmos is that it's Leolam, that it's forever. So you see that if one doesn't give a time frame, the assumption is that the term of any neder is forever, that the term of the neder is, there is no term, that it's going to be forever. The Rush, however, in his Tshuva says that someone's Mekabel Stam or Noder to Asir something on himself, it's as if he's befaresh al zman muat or a dover muat. So if a person is mekabel lazanas chaveros stam, he only has to do it for 1 year. That there's an assumption of what a reasonable person would commit to. It's not based on any raya from a gemara that it must mean this, must mean what does it, we try to figure out what the das bnei adam is. What does he probably have in mind? A reasonable person would commit to 1 year, but that machlokas is based on this gemara or the assumption of this gemara. So what do we say? Maskan over here that Belibo, he says Hayom, and somehow we allow that Dvarim Shebelev to modify the Neder that he actually says. So the Nidre's reason raises the question, if the Neder is Chal for that day, so how is he Neman to say that it was only for that day? Ein Echad Neman, Ein Eid Echad Neman B'makom Diz Chazik Yisura. If you already have this Chazik Yisura, because today it's Vadei going to be Yasir, so then why is an Eid Echad believed to say, oh yeah, and I was really just thinking Hayom. He should shouldn't be believed. If the neder is chal for that day, it's a schazek yisr, the neder is a schazek, and therefore he shouldn't be believed. So he says that since he could always be shoal on the neder, so we believe him, because neder echad is neman, v'makom neschazek yisuro, when it's biyado to change. So to be shoal on the neder is biyado, he could always undo the neder, so that's considered something to be something that's biyado, and that's why we're going to believe him about the fact that he said Hayom. Now there are different esberim given why it is by an onus, the Gemara's maskar over here, that by an onus we believe him what the Dvarim Shebelev are, that we count, not believe him, but we count the Dvarim Shebelev. The Ran explains, because if there's no onus and he asrs perostam, it would imply that he's asrs forever, but when there's an onus, we say that he must only mean for that day, because an onus is mefarish masha omer bepiv, meaning the ones, the fact that something is an ones allows him the right to explain, because there's an understanding that he's limited in what he can say explicitly. Normally when someone says explicitly, so we have to take him at his word, because he should say whatever he means, but over here there's an understanding that he can't say whatever he means, and that's why we're allowed to follow the Dvarim Shebelev. And that's what the Rush writes, that Dvarim Shebelev are Dvarim Shebelev normally are enum Dvarim, because how do we know that he really had Dvarim Shebelev? But when it's Dvarim Shebelev mochichim, when it's something that's clearly muchach, that there had to have been Dvarim Shebelev over here, then we're going to follow Dvarim Shebelev. Okay, says the Gemara further now. Beishamiram b'chol, Beishamiram b'meshu madiro, Beisilim af b'sheinu madiro. The Mishnah said that the Beishamai hold, the Machlokes Beisham Beisil, Beishamai holds, you can only take a neder on the items that the guy is making you take a neder about. Beisil says that you can even volunteer new elements to the neder. Ketzad, in the Mishnah explained, for example, Amar l'kona mishti nenesli, the guy says, I want you to take a neder, your wife should not be able to get a neder. Va'amar, and he responds, kona mishti yubanai nenenli, Beishamiram mishtam mutaris banav asurim Beisil. That's all a quote from the Mishnah. The Beishamai holds that it's binding on the child, because he never was forced to take a neder on the child, and Beisil holds that it's not binding on anybody. We have a brisa that says that Beishamai holds you're not allowed to volunteer a shvua, not a neder, but a shvua, to get the guy off your back, and Beisil holds you're even allowed to volunteer a shvua. So the Beishamai b'shvua hu d'lo yiftach lo ha-b'neder yiftach lo. The implication of that brisa is that you're not allowed to volunteer to take a shvua if he doesn't ask for it, but you are allowed to volunteer to take a neder if he doesn't ask for it. But that's not what our Mishnah says. V'atnan, in our Mishnah, it says Beishamai yom lo yiftach lo b'neder, that you're not even allowed to volunteer to take a neder if he didn't ask for it. Not only that, v'su miftach hu d'lo yiftach lo b'shvua ha-meder nadar b'shvua. It sounds from the brisa that you're not allowed to volunteer the shvua, but if he asks for a shvua, you can take it and you're not going to be bound by it. But that's not what our Mishnah says. But not in our Mishnah, it says Beishavi Omer b'chol nodrin chutz mi b'shvua, that a shvua is not going to, you're not going to be allowed to take a shvua under these circumstances. And if you do take such a shvua, it's going to be a binding shvua. So Tana Masnisin b'neder lo diach l'kochem de Beishamai. Maybe the Mishnah Dafka formulates it in terms of a neder to let you know just how strict Beishamai is about this. That even a neder, you're not allowed to volunteer. It's not to be medayik. We're not supposed to be medayik from the Braisa what the halacha would be. Whatever the halachas that are stated in the Braisa, so those are true, but any diyukim that we make are incorrect, because the brisa is formulated in a certain way to highlight one point, the Mishnah is formulated in a certain way to highlight another point. All there are no stiras in the halachas that are actually stated. The stiras are all in diyukim. So the brisa is there to let us know, the Mishnah is to let us know the kochim de Beishamai, that Beishamai is going to be so strict that you're not even allowed to volunteer a neder. Forget about volunteering a shvua, you're not even allowed to volunteer the less severe neder. And Tana Braisa b'shvua, the Braisa is formulated in terms of a shvua lo diachal kocha de Beis Hillel, to let you know how lenient Beis Hillel is, that Beis Hillel not only allows you to volunteer a neder, Beis Hillel even allows you to volunteer a shvua. Ravashi Amar Hachi Ketanir. Ravashi says, no, this is the way to say it. Beishami Omrim Ein She'ela B'Shvua U'Beisal Omrim Yeh She'ela B'Shvua. That the Brisa does not mean to say whether you're allowed to take the Neder or the Shvua. That's not the concern of the Brisa. But rather, what it's saying is that the that a Chacham is allowed to be Matir only in the Darim, but Beishami holds, but Shvua is a Chacham is not allowed to be Matir, because the Shvua is more Chamer than a Neder. So when the Brisa says, Lo Yiftach Lo B'Shvua, it means the Chacham cannot find a Pesach for the Shvua. It's not talking about you volunteering to take a shvua. So it's got nothing to do with the halacha of our Mishnah. And when Basil says, Yiftach lo b'shvua in the Braisa, it's saying that Yesheila b'shvua, that just like a chacham could be matir in the darim, he's also able to be matir shvua. So that's what the Braisa means. Af yiftach lo b'shvua. So it's got nothing to do with the halacha in our Mishnah. So two approaches to how to reconcile the Braisa with our Mishnah. First approach is, don't make any diukim in the Braisa, and all the halachas are true. The Braisa is just highlighting the Kocha de Atera of the Beis Hillel, and that's why it talks about what Beis Hillel even allows for by a Shavua, and the Mishnah's highlighting the Koch de Chamura, the Yisura of the Beis Shammai, and that's why it talks in terms of Nidarim. And the second answer is, no, the Brisa has nothing to do with this Halacha. The Brisa is not about what you're allowed to take, not allowed to take. It's all about what a Chacham can be Matir. It is a little bit odd, the Rishonim point out, the Rush points out over here, that we're going to have a Mishnah that highlights the Koch de Beis Shammai. Because normally, whenever you could highlight you could highlight just how serious one of the opinions is, we always highlight the Koch Da'atera. We have a concept Koch Da'atera Adiv. So Beis Hillel is the one that's more Mekel. That should be the one that we really highlight, like the Brisa does. So the Rush writes, yeah, because the Mishnah knew that there's a Brisa also. So you have something, you already have a statement of Tanaim that's highlighting the Koch Da'atera of the Beis Hillel. So to complement that, the Mishnah can equally highlight the Koch of the Chumrah of the Beis Shammai as well. Okay, new Mishnah now. Says the Mishnah on the bottom of Chaf Ches Amud Aleph. This Mishnah is a continuation of the dinim that we've been talking about until this point. Some say it's a continuation of the dinim of Nidrei Shkagos that we spoke about Chaf Hayim Beis. Some say it's a continuation of Nidrei Onsin we spoke about earlier. So this din is a little bit like an Ones, and some say it's not really related to this parak at all. It's just that once we're talking about Nidarim, where it's Ein Piv Libo Shavim, where a person is not completely sincere with what he's saying, so the Tana comes to tell us about another case of Ein Piv Libo Shavim, but Ein Achinami, it's not exactly something that really belongs in our parak at all. So the Mishnah says as follows. Here's the case. There's the Gemara is going to say, we're talking about a case where there's a wild wind that's blowing, and it looks like all the trees are about to come right out of the ground. There's hurricane winds. And the person says, Harei Netios Elu Karban Im Eina Niktsatsos. I am designating these trees as a carbon, I'll use their value to bring a carbon, or you say that if these trees don't get cut down or don't get blown over by the wind. Or a person sees that there's a talus, there's a fire that's coming and it's about to burn his talus. And he says, talus zo karbon im eina nisrefes. That this talus should be a karbon if it doesn't get burnt by this fire. So yeshla and pidyon, these natios and this talus can be redeemed for money, meaning that they're kadosh. The key is that they're considered to be kadosh. That's why they could be redeemed for money. So that it's efshal of dosan. Harei natios elu karbon ad sheyikatetsu. If he says, let them be a karbon until they get cut down, or talzu carbon ad shetisari, for let this talus be a carbon until it gets burnt, then ein lahem pidyon. Then there is no pidyon before it gets cut, because even if you try to be podit right now, before it gets cut, it's considered to be go back to becoming kadosh again, because you designated them as being kadosh until they get cut. So you could be podit them, but then they go right back and they regain their old kedusha. So it's as if you said that pidyon shouldn't help at all before the ketzitza is actually done, before any cutting is actually done. So what's the real chiddush of the Mishnah? The real chiddush of the Mishnah is in the Reisha that they don't have kedusha, and the Sefer that they do have kedusha. So why does it say? I'm sorry. In the Reisha they do have kedusha. Yesh lam pidyon means that they have kedusha, and in the Sefer that there's no kedusha. So v'lisni, let it, instead of saying in lam pidyon yesh lam pidyon, let it say kedoshos, and I'll know something that's kadosh has pidyon. So because anything that's that's kadosh as pidyon. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah, that even though you told the kedusha on it being cut down, the kedusha is still chal, and it could have and the seifa also. Why does it have to say ein lam pidyon, not the ikur chiddush? Ve'ein kadoshos. Let it say the ikur chiddush. That ein kadoshos. So it says Gemara, Aidi debar the Mishnah seifa. Since it's going to say in the seifa ein lam pidyon, because the seifa can't say ein kadoshos, because adrab in the seifa it is kadosh. It's just that you can't be poded because the kedusha keeps coming back. So tananami resha yesh lam pidyon. That's why the resha also uses the terminology of yesh lam pidyon rather than discussing whether it's kadosh. So hechi nadar, what exactly, what was the lashon that a person used to be makdish these netios? If he's saying that these netios should be a carbon if they don't get cut down, what do you mean? Every netia ultimately gets cut down. So then automatically it should not be a carbon, it should not be chal, because ultimately everything will eventually get cut down. So does that mean if it never ever gets cut down? So hechi nadar, what exactly is the formulation of this neder? Amar amemar ba'omer, the guy must have said, im einan iksatzos Hayom, if it doesn't get cut down today, va'avar hayom v'lo niktsu, and the day has come and gone, and the trees were not cut down. So imkein lamali lemeimar pshita. Well, then isn't that obvious that his tanai was fulfilled? He said if they don't get cut down today, they were not cut down today. So mele, they'll be kadosh. So what's the chiddush? Says Mar lo tzricha. Kigon di'ika zika nefisha. No, it must be that there was something threatening these trees that made it look like they weren't going to last the day. And therefore, when you took a neder that these trees should be kadosh, if they don't get knocked down today, it's because you thought they're definitely getting knocked down today, and therefore there's a lack of gemiras das. You don't really mean to make these trees aser. If you when you said that they should become kadosh, if the trees don't get cut down today, it's because you thought there was no chance that they're not going to get cut down today. So therefore, it's a lack of gemiras das. Va'katani la'gabe talis, and the raya that this must be the case, that there was some sort of massive wind threatening these trees, is because we say the same thing in our Mishnah about a talis. What? V'talis l'sreifa kaima? Is a talis something that normally one would expect to get burnt? Who thinks that the talis can get burnt? So in kigom di'ika deleika, it must be that we're talking about a case where there was something threatening the talis. There was a fire right there, and there was an assumption that the talis was going to be burnt. So achanami di'ika zika nefisha. So here as well, it must be that there's a massive wind that's threatening to blow down these trees. And we're assuming that the guy thinks that there's no way that these trees are ever going to be saved. Nothing's going to help these trees. They're not going to be saved anyway. And therefore, and that's why he's taking the neder. So that's why he has to tell me, the Mishnah tells me, that no, the Kedusha is actually chal, even though you might think that the Kedusha should not be chal over here. So since he took the neder because so we would think that the neder is not going to be chal. There's machlokes rishonim why the neder should not be chal if he thinks that the trees are not going to be saved. From the Ran, it sounds like the salka daitach is that it counts as nidrei shkagos, and that's why the neder is not going to be chal. It's like nidrei shkagos, I took a neder if I ate today, and I forgot that I did eat today, so I'm taking this neder if these trees don't get knocked down. But I'm thinking, of course, the trees are going to get knocked down. It's very similar to nidrei shkagos. Tos says no, the salka daitach is that they're nidrei zruzin that are not chal. The Rush says the salka daitach is that it's nidrei taus. So whatever it is, that's what the point we were highlighting before. This doesn't exactly fit neatly into any of the categories that we've already discussed in this parak, but you see how it relates to all of them in some way. That it relates to the idea of ein piv v'libo shavim, of a guy not saying exactly what he really means. Karanora just points out the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch don't even paskin this din; they leave it out entirely. So he says, according to what the Gemara is saying, it's that this is the chiddush of the Mishnah, that the neder is not in the category of nidrei shkagos and nidrei zruzin. That this neder is chal l'chora, this should have been paskin la'alacha, because this is a major exception. I mean, it sounds like it's going against everything we said until this point. So he's not sure why it is that the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch leave out this point. Okay, but Shem Elisha will pick up tomorrow at the two dots. He told me to prepare from the two dots, and I'll try to give shiurim and keli over the summer if there's anyone interested in hearing the shiurim. Otherwise, I guess Elisha's maybe. Are you going to be online?
Yeah.
Okay. Elisha's going to be online anyway. Okay. Very good.